one of them. Paula from HR steepled her fingers under her chin and gave Henry a sympathetic smile, the kind that was more a compression of the lips than an actual smile. She tilted her head to the side, which was also supposed to portray empathy, as well as to encourage him to say something. Henry Hargreaves didn't think Paula from HR regretted anything. He was just a number to her, and to the company he worked for. He hoped she'd never find out just how dispensable she herself was, but he suspected she probably would.
"Is there anything you'd like to ask me? Any further information I can give you?"
False sympathy oozed from her voice.
"When do I leave and how much do I get?"
He knew he sounded brusque, but this was the second time in 6 months he'd been in this position, and his mind had gone numb. Redundancy had been the last thing he'd expected when he had been summoned to head office this morning. He guessed something was up because he'd been instructed to rearrange all of today's appointments, and the head office of Baldwin Limited was a 3-hour drive there and back. They wouldn't have asked him to attend a meeting at such notice if it wasn't important, but he'd been thinking the reason for it was more along the lines of extending his territory. Andrew Mordaunt, who covered South West Wales, Henry's area was Mid and West Wales, had tipped him the wink that he was leaving, which, as far as Henry was concerned, would open up a whole new area for Henry to move into. Of course, it would involve considerably more travelling, and he hadn't been looking forward to that. But as long as he could return to the bosom of his family in the evening, he would have been prepared to put in the longer hours.
"We are giving you 1 month's notice, but as for any redundancy payment, unfortunately, you've only been with us for such a short period."
Paula sent him another one of her sympathetic smiles, and Henry suddenly felt like crying. She handed him a letter.
"This is your formal notification."
"Sorry," she repeated.
Henry took it dully. He didn't bother reading it. There wasn't any point. What the hell was he going to say to Lottie? Dazed, he got to his feet, nodded at the HR manager, and staggered outside on wooden legs. Twice in 6 months. Once was unfortunate and couldn't be helped. Twice must mean there was something wrong with him. Wasn't he doing his job properly? He'd taken over an established territory, the previous salesman having retired, so it wasn't as though Henry had had to build everything up from scratch. Admittedly, sales hadn't been as good as he'd hoped, but farming was a declining industry, especially animal husbandry. It was already the middle of November. In a little over a month, he'd have no income. At least he'd had a bit of a payout from his previous employer, having worked for them for nearly 13 years. And he'd been able to get another job fairly quickly, so that money was still sitting in their savings account. But it wasn't going to last forever, though, was it? And what about the extension they were planning on? What about Christmas? What a crappy thing to do to someone at this time of year. Henry needed to go home and start looking for another job immediately. He knew from the last time that there were jobs out there, so maybe it would be for the best if he didn't mention anything to his wife just yet. How much better would it sound if he could say,
"Sorry, Lottie, I've been made redundant again. But don't worry, I've found another job, and I'm starting it next week."
Besides, he didn't want to spoil Christmas for her or the children, and he certainly didn't want her fretting about being able to afford to buy Christmas presents. He got in his car, thankful it was his own vehicle and not a company car, and threw his briefcase in the back, before realising he still had the letter in his hand. Not wanting Lottie to see it, he reached behind, snagged the handle of the briefcase on the back seat, and drew it towards him. After stuffing the letter inside, he started the engine and made his slow, steady way home across country. The familiar sights as he neared home set his teeth on edge. Applewell was a little village 2 miles from the sea in the depths of West Wales.